The Future Lifestyle Pro Podcast. So, hello, Michael Kilburn. Hiya, you alright, mate? How are you? I hope you're okay. I really hope you're okay. Top guy. Right, Michael Kilburn used to be my gaffer at Oddsall Fire Station. I'll have you know, everyone. So I really like Facebook. I like some conversations that I have on there. I've actually met some true friends on Facebook. You know, what I would actually consider actual friends. I've met some people who I've never met who I would really like to meet in real life. You know, truly like to meet. But the problem with Facebook is that it's like chocolate. It's like empty calories. Your brain is tricked into thinking it's good for you in many different ways, and it actually isn't. Like, you think when you're on Facebook, you're socialising, but you kind of are, but what we're doing when we socialise on Facebook is we don't have the connections, the human connections that we used to have, especially with messaging and comments and stuff like that. It's like road rage. You don't see people's faces. Sometimes, most people who are me, if I see them and I'm friends with them on Facebook, they're really nice to me. And maybe because I do these videos, you can see me acting as myself. So maybe there's a bit more trust there. But most people don't do these kind of videos. So often, people's true representation of who they are on Facebook versus real life is false, because some people come across as real pricks, but when you meet them in real life, they're actually really sound and lovely and normal, you know. And that's kind of one of the downsides to it. We care what people think, which is obviously a downside. It matters a bit what people think, but we care too much what people think, but we don't get any of the upside of the love and support from a community, you know, like we would have had if we had no Facebook, for example, and we would just had to hang around with the people who we live with in our village. We'd have true connection then. Family, true connection. You see people in real life, they've got your back, you've got theirs. But it's kind of false connection on Facebook. It's empty calories, you know, it's eating chocolate without any of the upside of the health benefits. We search for that endorphin hit. I know I do this. Maybe you don't do this. Maybe it's only me. But we search for that endorphin hit. It's nice when somebody comments on your post. It's nice when somebody likes your stuff, what you have to say, shares your thing. It's nice. It feels good. It's done on purpose. And it gives us an endorphin hit. And we chase it. And that's really what addicts do. They chase that endorphin hit. And you're probably saying to yourself, well, I'm not an addict. All right, what are you doing on here then? Why are you talking to the person sat next to you? So, you know, we're all a little bit guilty of it, and I feel like I just need a little bit of a break from it. And I don't spend, actually, contrary to what you might think, I don't spend that long on Facebook every day. I just post something that I try to get, you know, testy with people and try and, like, you know, ruffle a few feathers, and then I reply to comments or on my own post, and that's pretty much it. I never scroll. I have no idea what other people are up to, and that's where I like it. But just for my personal, just like doing Dry January, I'm just doing it just to give myself a little bit of a break from it, because it's just good. I got my Instagram hacked about, I don't know, 3 or 4 months ago. And it felt pretty shit at the time, because I was quite diligent with my Instagram. I'd built my Instagram intentionally. If there was a new way to generate attention on that platform, or they had a new tool or a facility, I'd always use it. Instagram, I'd really use Instagram the way that they loved you to use it. And it worked. I built up an alright following, just to see if I could, really. I don't know why. I don't know why I would build a following up. It's not like I'm I don't know why I'd build a following, just to see if I could, really, just for something to do. And I felt a bit cheated when it got hacked. It was totally my fault why it got hacked. But at the time, I felt a bit raped. Trigger word. Trigger warning. But now in hindsight, it's a bit of a blessing in disguise. And I'm kind of glad it got hacked now. It's one less thing to think about. It was just a pure distraction. And Facebook's the same. But I know when I'm going to post on Facebook. I know I'm going to post every single Monday. I'm going to do this every Monday. I know that. I committed to doing that. All the other posts I do are just whatever I feel like saying at the time. But with Instagram, I was planning what to post. I was thinking of, that'd make a good post. This would make a good post. You know, thinking about what I'm going to do in the future, which isn't being present. And thinking about posting on a social media that no one really gives a shit about. You know, social media is great in moderation, like chocolate is great in moderation. But the fact is, if there's a service that we use that's free, if you're not sure what the product is, you're the product. That's the saying. If you're using a free service, you think you're using a product when in fact you're the product. You're being manipulated and you don't realise it. Or we're being manipulated and we don't realise it. The biggest companies in the world, like Facebook, for example, they can afford to hire the cleverest people. So they can manipulate us and our subconscious minds in ways that we can't understand and we'll never understand. and the way they talk about it in that film, Social Dilemma, is it's a race to the bottom of the brainstem. How can they hack our behaviour so cleverly that we don't even realise it's going on? And really, that's what social media is. It's behaviour manipulation. They're trying to drive us towards ultimately buying a product. A bit like when the Dutch, 200 years ago, Dutch people, or some guy, I can't remember his name, but he invented milk chocolate 200 years ago. They hacked our emotional brain. They hacked a way to make us feel like we want something when we don't actually need it. Because our subconscious mind, our emotional brain, it's like an ocean. You can see the surface. We only get to see the surface. But what's actually going on beneath is unfathomable. There's so much going on. There's so much evolution there. And pretty much all of our behaviour is dictated by our emotional brain. We don't think it is, but it actually is. So, you know, there we go. But Facebook, I mean, I would say it's toxic for social skills. Nobody wants to talk on the phone anymore. I mean, your friends do. And if I can arrange to talk to one of my friends, no problem. But there's no talking to strangers on the phone. You know, there's times when I've had to call someone because I might be buying or selling something or using Facebook Market or renting. It's like, let me just give you a ring and explain. It's quicker. Take a minute. No. People are hide behind messages. It's toxic for social skills. Some younger people especially, man. Jesus Christ. Social skills have gone down the pan big time. It's toxic, I would say, for emotional management. The problem is, it convinces us, because of the algorithm, it convinces us that we're right all the time. So we feel like we're right. We're in a positive feedback loop. It shows us people who agree with us. So we feel like we're always right. So all of a sudden, when you come and face the real world and somebody disagrees with you, or somebody wants to have a confrontation with you without it turning into two chimpanzees screaming at each other, people go to bits because they're not used to managing their emotions, because they're getting everything they ever want fed to them. It magnifies outrage. It magnifies irritability. It's like I posted earlier on about Mason Greenwood. It's outrage porn. Facebook and Twitter, but most of us don't use Twitter as much. It's outrage porn. It's comparison porn. We compare ourselves to everyone else, but there's no way we could ever possibly be happy by comparing ourselves to other people. And I'd say Instagram's probably worse for that. It stops conversation dead. If somebody's disagreeing with you, rather than have a conversation to find out why, you can just delete them, or you can just move on to another conversation without having to say the goodbyes that you would if you were stood to someone's face. You know, so it socially, it's really toxic. It's toxic for relationships. Even like you could have a an argument with missus. I've done this. I know me and Caroline have done this. We might have an argument, and rather than just talk through it, what I want to see it from your perspective. Let's work it out. You can just hide in your phone because you know that you're going to be welcomed with open arms by Facebook. You can hide from each other. You can hide from what matters on Facebook. And obviously that's corrosive to a relationship long term. So there's some reasons, because ultimately what Facebook wants is eyeballs on the screen. That's really ultimately what they want. And they want eyeballs on the screen because they get money from advertisers. So it's advertising revenue that they get by your eyeballs being on the screen. And they're slowly stealing our attention. You've heard before that our memory's like a goldfish. It's like 8 seconds, our attention span's like a goldfish now. It's not because people are thicker these days. In fact, people's IQs are higher. Their attention's lower because of the way that our subconscious mind and our emotional mind's been manipulated by these tech companies. It 10x's our narcissism. We all think, we all have this false, inflated impression of who we are because of social media. Or maybe you don't feel like that, though. You don't feel like you're a bit more narcissistic, only other people. But that's the thing. You don't feel like you're more narcissistic, but everyone else is, because that's what the algorithm wants you to think. You know, it's designed in that way. You can be there's two kind of wolves. You can be one or the other. And neither of them are that bad. We're all both of them to some extent. But you can be a solitary wolf or a pack wolf. A solitary wolf is probably the best one to be, I would say, because you've got you're a bit more free to make your own decisions, to improvise, to hunt. Yeah, there's a bit more risk, but you're the one who's in charge of you. And then you can be a pack wolf. The problem with being a pack wolf is it's safer and feels more welcoming, but you put too much emphasis on the opinions of other people. And if we do that, we're never going to be free, ever. Free from our own mind, free from our own insecurities. So I'm going to take a break for a month from Facebook. I'm only going to delete the app. So if you went on Facebook and looked for me, you'd still find my page. I'm still going to be on Messenger. I'm still going to do Matsy Monday, but on YouTube. On the Future Lifestyle Pro YouTube page. I mean, no one's going to watch it, but I'm still going to do it because I like to keep reading and learning and sharing what I learn, because that's how I learn better. But yeah, if you get on there, that'd be awesome. If not, absolutely no problem. And enjoy February. Thanks for watching, guys. I love you. I'll see you later on. Bye.